word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Lord, we ask you, Lord, knowing that we are humans, Lord. Lord, we every day ask for your forgiveness, Lord. Lord, not that you don't forgive us, Lord, or aren't forgiving, but Lord, we constantly, Lord, are failing you. I pray, dear God, that you will help us in this service, Lord Jesus, as we yield ourselves to you, that you may come, Lord, and be a blessing to the people, Lord. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 3. Last Sunday, by accident, the recorded service got deleted. And so they weren't able to put it up on the website. And there was some people that come to me saying they didn't get to hear the service for one reason or another. So I believe this morning I'll do a little bit of review, and then see if we can go on to getting into the next part of this. John chapter 3, verse 1, and there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And I thought, for such, supposed to be such a spiritual man, how carnal. But it's because he's hearing something that seems, that is completely new. It's beyond what he's ever heard before. And so but instead of trying to approach it with a spiritual mind, and that's where we get in trouble a lot of times, is we approach things instead of with the spiritual mind, we approach them with the carnal mind. Now, the spiritual mind has no pride.
Amen, Brother Jimmy.
But the carnal mind does. And so if everything that we, and look, I know we're humans, and we live in this life, and there are natural things we got to contend with. But I'll tell you what, we'll find out things will go a lot smoother if we'll begin to think on them with the spiritual mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, the mind that was in Christ Jesus. And I can tell you, I'm human. My first reaction to anything that happens and comes up is just to think on it with the carnal mind. That's my first reaction. That just comes natural. Because I'm a human man. And many times after I react on something with the carnal mind, then I look back at it with a spiritual mind, and I could just about kick myself. And let's here he was looking at it with a carnal mind. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. You may be seated. You notice, even though Nicodemus was asking from like a carnal mind, he was asking. Jesus never lowered himself to answer him in a carnal way. Jesus started off with it in the spiritual, and even though Nicodemus then began to try to relate in the carnal, Jesus comes back again and just talks in the spiritual. In other words, Jesus doesn't say, "Now, Nicodemus, you know that's silly. That can't happen. No man can enter back into his mother's." Why would you even say that? You know, Jesus doesn't go into that carnal realm. He stays in the spiritual realm. And the reason I'm pointing this out to you is because many times, and listen, friends, if you don't know by now, I'm going to tell you what kind of a preacher I am. I'm a preacher that preaches from experience. You know, I don't claim to be a very knowledgeable. I don't claim to be somebody that can astound you with the message of the scriptures. I don't claim to be somebody deep. I preach a lot of what I preach is through what I go through, experience. Now, there are some things that, you know, that I will say that the Lord will lead me on, and it doesn't mean that I got to go through the same thing you go through in order for me to minister to you. We all go through different trials. Where they are the same is in this, they are trials. The other place that they are the same is that there is the same answer for all of them, and that's the Word of God. Jesus didn't use any of, I'm repeating things to you, you already know. Jesus didn't use any of the gifts or the divineness that he had to overcome the devil. He simply used the Word, the very thing we have. And so if we go to that, that's how we'll overcome our trials. Now, putting that into words is a lot simpler and sounds easy, but when it comes to actually dealing with it and living with it, it's a little harder. And some of it is because of ourselves. And again, now I'm going back to, if I'm saying this, I'm not saying this pointing out at anybody. I'm telling you, I'm preaching from experience. I have trouble with this old boy right here. I have trouble with this flesh. It's a real battle. And there are times that, how many would ever say that Satan's ever come to you and shook you in such a way you wonder if your faith's been shook? Sometimes he'll hit you with physical things, you know, sicknesses and that. And then he'll come around and he'll say, "If you had faith, you'd be healed from this." Maybe there's a reason you're supposed to be going through it. And that's a spiritual outlook on it. And that's the outlook that we don't really like to go to that one, because what we want is we want to be delivered. We want to be healed. We don't want to battle. We want, and we don't want pressure. We would like things to be easy. And every once in a while, we'll get a little break in there and it'll feel like it's easy. But anytime you feel that, look out. It's a calm before the storm. Amen. But, you know, when something that I'm battling with, why, I'd like it to be over with immediately. I don't want to wait. I don't want to go through 7 months of torment, you know, trying to get something resolved. But sometimes it's out of your hands. You got no choice. And you just got to endure. That's another spiritual thing. The Bible says, "He that endure till the end." And so enduring is very important. Let me try to move on here. Just forgive me. I'll just, Brother Henry Green used to say this. He'd say, I preach like a hunting dog. I get on the hottest trail and I follow that scent. And so, you know, that's kind of the kind of preacher I am. I, you know, when I hit on a trail, I'll go off on it, even if it seems like a tangent. You know, if that's where it's the hottest at, well, I'll go there. And Brother Branham explained it this way. He said, sometimes, he says, somebody asked me, said, how come it seems like you get off the subject sometimes and go way off this way before you come back to it? He says, well, it's like, he said, it's like we're traveling along the highway, he says, and picking people up on a bus. And he says, and it so happens not everybody's out there waiting at the road. Sometimes I got to go on down the lane and get them and come back to the road. So, amen. The prophet said, to be born again means birth from above. Birth from above. A birth that cometh from above. You, because you have been born here, now to be born again, you have to be born from up here, he says, to be born again. Then that kingdom is much higher than this kingdom, so greater than this kingdom, till this kingdom is foolish to that, and that's foolish to this. We covered in Luke 24, where Jesus was instructing his disciples for them to go and to tarry in Jerusalem. And they were to tarry there and wait for what? To be endued with power from on high. Now, they had already believed on Jesus Christ. They had already believed. But what they didn't have was, they didn't have that baptism of the Holy Spirit. That not a baptism upon your spirit, and that's not something I'm going to get into today, but just slip it in. It wasn't just a baptism on the spirit. And, you know, some people think, well, they get a baptism on the spirit, and they mistake that for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it's not the same thing. It'll make you feel good. But it doesn't change that soul. That soul needs to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's where he wants to have his, that's where he wants to come into. A lot of people inviting, Brother Branham brings the example, that's a lot of people inviting into the, they'll invite him into the parlor, you know. But they don't want to invite him on into the bedroom. And he says, where do you have a relationship with him? And you know him, he knows you. And, you know, many times when Brother Branham gives these analogies, I think back of the time era he spoke them in and wonder how many people sat there gasping because of the analogies he was using. I mean, there was a lot of things that, well, let me just go on. That's just a thought of mine. But they were to be endued with power from on high. We brought out how the new birth was not the same as the baptism of the Holy Spirit as far as the indwelling of the Spirit in you. We brought out how they were two separate things. And, that when you, and if anybody wants to look these things up and find this in Questions and Answers 1957, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you then have the new birth. When you believe on the Lord, you receive a new thought, a new life, but that isn't the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You got the new birth when you believe. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life, has everlasting life. That's the new birth. You're converted. It means you turned around. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit puts you into the body of Christ, subject to the gifts for service. the new birth comes from believing on him, but there is a power that we are to receive. And that power is where it comes in, where it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. To try to think that there are people that they come as far as, and I didn't really mean to get into these things today, but I'll just briefly say something about them because I want to get more in depth later on. But to come as far as sanctification or justification, that's the first step, justification ain't good enough. Justification is being called out. You receive a call. Sanctification begins to clean you up. That still ain't good enough. All right? In other words, what I'm saying is, that's not going to hold you. That's not going to keep you. That's not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You get a baptism upon their spirit, and that's when a lot of times you'll see a lot of emotion. Why? Because that's where our emotions lie, is in our spirit realm. And so a baptism upon the spirit can cause a lot of emotions. And those that mistake emotions and so forth for being the evidence of having the Holy Ghost, that's where they go wrong. See, you can be baptized upon your spirit, and it can cause you to do a lot of things, feel a lot of things. But what you've got to do is you've got to come to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that just seals the whole thing. I hope this is making sense. If it doesn't, it will as we go on. I didn't want to really get into that today, but we've mentioned it. We'll go on. We'll come back to it on another service. He says, as far as having eternal life and being a Christian, you're a Christian the moment you believe. And that's not make-believe, that's truly believe on the Lord Jesus and accept him as your personal Savior. You're born again right there and have eternal life. God, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life, shall not come into the judgment, but pass from death into life. He says, all right, now this next part, he goes into, have you, and I'll get into that in just a moment. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? All right. Again, here in questions answer 57, he says, now if anything comes outside of your believing, it isn't an act of your own, it's an act of God. And then he drops on down and says, anything comes outside of your own personal faith, it has to be a divine gift of God given to you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a different act from the new birth. One is a birth, one is a baptism. One brings you eternal life, the other gives you power. All right. Now, that might not cover at all like we were able to go over it last Sunday, but there's a brief touching into what we've ministered on last Sunday. And I'm sure as we go along, there'll be things which I did mention or say last Sunday that we'll have to bring back up and bring back into remembrance. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. Will, there's a little notepad sitting on my desk back there. Should have the mouse by it. Bring that notepad out here to me. All right. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Son of Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now that verse of scripture right there is a mouthful. Thank you, Will. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Now that's truly believing, not make believe, as Brother Branham pointed out. Truly believing and accepting him as their Savior. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now this next part is what you could preach a message just on this next part. And everyone that loveth him that begat. In other words, everyone that loveth God, he's the one that we are all born of. Everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So, if we can't say we love God and not love our brother or our sister, that's said so many places so plainly within the scriptures. But here it's tied in with this new birth of being a Christian. In other words, you can't claim to be a Christian if you can't love one another. Amen. Amen. You got to be a Christian, you got to love one another. Amen. Praise God. Like I said, I could preach a whole message on that right there. But this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So why is it keeping his commandments not grievous to us? Because we're born of God. And being born of God, it automatically, we overcome the world. Now, it doesn't mean that, and again, I go back constantly tying in perhaps things that I've preached on the Holy Ghost, to keep these alive within our thoughts. It doesn't mean that we're free of mistakes. By the way, that reminds me, Brother Todd has made copies of that interview with Sister Bruce that I had mentioned of, that Brother Branham had with her and her asking him about having the Holy Ghost and that. Brother Todd's made copies. I believe he put them out in the vestibule out here. Four-year, so if anybody wants a copy, I think he's got about 10 copies out there, and if that's not enough, why somebody doesn't get one, just let myself or Brother Todd know, and we'll make sure that you get one. But I don't know I have no idea whether that was ever put into any type of a book form or whatever, because it's only about 2 pages long. But that's out there if you want to get that interview with Sister Bruce. And there's a lot Brother Branham says in there, because she talks about one of the reasons she didn't believe she had the Holy Ghost today, because I make so many mistakes. And Brother Branham was telling her, that's got nothing to do with it. Mistakes, you're going to make mistakes. Brother Branham also says, he says this in another place, and I'll have to paraphrase, but I can get you the exact quote. But he says, stumbling and falling, making mistakes, has nothing to do with it. You know, a man of God or a woman of God, you pick yourself back up and go on. As long as you're in the line of duty, you're following God, doing the best you can, doing what God has asked for you to do, then God don't look at those mistakes. But here's the other thing. We're not going to wallow in them either. Amen? But, I'll tell you what, friends. The longer I live, the more mysterious some of this stuff becomes. You know? And at the same time, the simplicity of God becomes more and more revealed. And, you know, I struggled for so long in my life trying to be perfect. That's kind of my nature anyway. I was never satisfied with floating along. I had to have the best grade. When I was in college, just making the dean's list wasn't good enough. I wanted to carry that 4.0 average. And as I got on in closer to graduating, that just became more pressure about what I could bear trying to keep up with that. But it's just kind of how I made up. And so I tried to apply that to the spiritual walk with God, and it don't work. It doesn't apply. I know the scripture says for us to be perfect, but it's not saying for us to be, that we're going to be free of mistakes. Amen. We're in a human flesh. And I don't know about you, but I have problems with mine. You know, I have physical problems with it. It doesn't want to act the way it used to act. You know, and there's sometimes in my mind, I still think I'm 20. And if I'm not careful, why, I'll try to require this old body to act like it's 20. And it lets me know real quick, hey, buddy, I don't care what age you think you are, you need to go look at your birth certificate. And but we have physical problems, you know. And I don't know, you might find this humorous or whatever, but I don't like being bald. I don't like being without hair. Maybe the reason I'm without hair is because I loved my hair so much. And you know, when I met Mina, Mina said I couldn't go past my reflection without checking to see if my hair was combed. You know. And she met my reflection. It didn't even have to be a mirror. But you know, sometimes I have dreams about having hair again. And I wake up from that and man, it's so disappointing. But I can't, you know, that's one of the problems I have with this body. You know, I can grow more hair out of my ears than I can on top of my head. And that's one of those age things. Then we have trouble with this body because, friends, this body is made up to work with doubt. This body is made up to lean toward not believing. I know this might sound strange, or I might have somebody that would hear this and say, oh, I don't agree with that, brother. Well, if you'll think about it a little bit, I believe you will change your mind. This body, friends, if we try to believe with our body, we're in trouble because this body, it is subject to mistakes. It's subject to failures. And then our mind, you just try to believe with your mind. A mental faith ain't good enough because then you're in your mind, which is that spirit realm of imagination, conscience, reason, memory, well, I may have forgotten one of them. Seems like I always do. I did it one time. Brother Neil brought me something that had those things on there. But, you know, you can imagine things a certain way, but that don't mean nothing. Memory. Maybe that was the one I forgot, was memory. And I'll tell you one of the things about memory. there's things you remember from your past that you wish you could forget. There's things you remember that you hope nobody else ever finds out about. That's the truth. Why? Because we'd be embarrassed about it. But back when we was serving the flesh, why, we wasn't embarrassed at all about doing it. Hallelujah. I tell you what, friends, I preach these things the way I do is I am so happy to be free. I'm so happy to be free from, I've watched people who they base, whether they're all right or not, they base it on their works. And I know that if there's faith there, that works will follow. I understand that. But doing works out of a legalistic mind doesn't get you anywhere. There are people that won't cut their hair, wear long dresses, and go around living these things because they know, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. But they have trouble loving those that are begotten of the Lord. They have trouble loving their brothers and sisters sometimes. And I'll tell you what, we need to love one another. Amen. I trust y'all love me. I love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's see, where were we now? All right, verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is a spirit that beareth witness, because the spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the spirit and the water and the blood. Pardon me. And these three agree in one. If ye receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath witness in himself, that he believeth not God hath made him a liar. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. He that believeth not the record that God, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Well, I should have had this printed out a little bit larger for me. My Bible, so one of these days, I'm probably going to have to go to a large print Bible. better glasses, you said. That's another problem I got. Not only have to wear glasses, then I get a certain age and they tell me, you need this special little focal thing at the bottom of your glasses. And I refuse to get it, and so I suffer for it. Verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Let me just Before I get on into this, I don't know how far I'll get today. I've got some things here I want to get into about the water, blood, and spirit. But before I get into that, let me just come back here a minute and visit this about Brother Branham says this. This is in Early Spiritual Experiences 52. He says, "We do not receive the Holy Ghost by faith believing." Well, I got everybody's attention now, I guess. We do not receive the Holy Ghost by faith believing. It's the free gift of God that's given to us by God's grace. Faith believing is something that you do yourself. And it's something that we've got by faith. We believe on the Son of God. By faith, we accept Him as our Savior. That's where the new birth comes in. But the Holy Ghost, as I mentioned this last Sunday, the Holy Ghost is a gift. Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So I'm going to repeat what Brother Ram says here. We do not receive the Holy Ghost by faith believing. It's the free gift of God that's given to us by God's grace. He says, and that's where I differ with my own church, the church that I come from, the Baptist church. They said, you receive the Holy Ghost when you believe. He said, that's contrary to the Bible, because Paul said in Acts 19, he asked those Baptists up there that were following Apollos, he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" Not when you believe, but since you have believed. You believe first, and the Holy Ghost is the gift of God that comes to you. It's different, altogether different from being saved and being called out in God. Does that make it clear? Satan, friends, here, Brother Brown makes this statement one time. He says, if Satan can't keep you from revelation, he'll try to push you beyond it. So what I want to draw from there, there's a lot you can draw from that statement, but what I want to draw from there is this. Satan's job is to try to keep you from revelation. And the Holy Ghost, receiving the Holy Ghost as a free gift, is a revelation from God. And as long as He can keep our keep us out of a spiritual mind and try to deal with us in a carnal mind about whether we got the Holy Ghost or not, then he's always going to end up keeping us defeated on that front. And so what the devil tries to do is he tries to point at, in other words, to push you beyond the revelation. Then he keeps telling you, well, you got to do this, or you got to do that, or you got to do this in order to get it. I've seen people, and I pray that I'm not misunderstood in this, but I've seen people, you know, that'll call up people to come around the altar, and they're up around the altar all everywhere, you know, and they're going around praying for me, and they're telling them, seek for the Holy Ghost, seek for the Holy Ghost, seek for the Holy Ghost. Look, God wants to give it to you more than you even want it. That's the truth. And when everything is as it should be, you can't seal up. We relayed this, as Brother Brown did, to a box car. Everything being placed in there, and then a seal's put on it. How many's ever seen one of those seals? You have, one of the seals they use is it's a silver like strip, and it gets bound together, and on there is a number. And then that number, would be on a document, and those numbers got to match. And you receive part of that document, like if you were shipping something. I know when I shipped from overseas, I received part of the document that had the number of that seal on there. And all these things had to match up. But the seal wasn't put on until the thing was loaded. When we're ready, when that individual is ready, believe me, God won't hesitate. I could get you up here around the altar, beating and pounding on your back and everything else, and get you crying and seeking, and we could stay here and tarry till tomorrow morning. I remember one time I was in a camp meeting. This was, oh my goodness, this was years and years ago. I can't even remember the date or year of it. It had to be, goodness, it probably was 1970 maybe, something like that. And was in a camp meeting, and this brother got up, and he said, the Bible says they tarried until they were endued with power from on high. He said, that's what we need to do. We need to tarry. And this was an evening service that we were at. And I'll tell you what, my family, my dad, my mom, and there was another friend of ours, the ones that actually introduced us to the message, they were there with us. And as this started to go on, I'll tell you what, it got to a point where my dad said, we need to get up and go. Not because it was taking long, but because things wasn't going just right. You can tarry and get endued with something that you ain't even tarrying for. And that's what had happened in there, and they had a mess up there, you know. And that's, wow. See, this is where some of the denomination gets off and says, well, it was just for the disciples, the Holy Ghost. No, it wasn't just for the disciples, but they were the ones that were given the instructions by Jesus. Now you go and tarry. Why? Because before this time, it wasn't that the Holy Ghost wasn't known of. It just hadn't come bodily into anyone else. David speaks of the Holy Spirit back in the book of Psalms. You know. But up until this time, no one had been endued with that power. Jesus gave them instruction. Why? Because it was the season. It was the time that they were, and they were ready. Why? Because Jesus himself had been here with them, and he had made them ready. And that's who makes us ready today. How do we get ready? Well, how did he get them ready? By the word. The word being preached and then believing on that word, believing beyond even carnal thinking. Because I love that in John chapter 6, I believe it's where it's at, where Jesus said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And it says many left him after that saying. And he turns to the 12 and he says, will you go also? And Peter, being the outspoken one, says, Lord, where could we go? Thou alone hast the words of life. Now, that was Peter speaking from a spiritual mind, not a carnal mind. Because if Peter would have resorted to the carnal mind, in the carnal mind, I'd have wanted to say, hold on, what did you mean by that? What did you mean by that? I mean, I believe, but I want to understand, what do you mean by that, except we eat your flesh and drink your blood? But Peter didn't say that. Peter didn't understand it. Neither did the other 12. They didn't understand it. Jesus told them there were many things he said unto them that they wouldn't even understand till it came to be. He said, if you destroy this temple, I'll raise it up again in 3 days. They did not understand that. No more than the unbelievers that were around that began to mock it and say, why, how many years it took him to build this temple? And he says he could raise it back up again in 3 days because they were standing there in the temple of Solomon. Well, it took him years to build this. And he says he could raise it back up in 3 days. Carnal thinking. The disciples at that point, they didn't understand that either. But see, that's what I'm talking about. Our faith, believing on him, has to go beyond carnal reasoning. In other words, we believe what he says even when we don't understand it, but we will understand it. And the disciples understood it when this temple had been destroyed, hung on the cross, and been put in a tomb, and in 3 days came forth again. Then they knew what he spoke of when the word came to pass. And that was the very thing he told them it would be, how it would be. He said, when the word comes to pass, you'll understand these things. And that's the way it is with us. And this is the thing. In spite of the unbelief that Peter had to deal with in his flesh, the unbelief that in his flesh caused Peter to doubt because of what he was witnessing, and he doubted because what he was witnessing wasn't agreeing with what he thought he believed. I'm talking about when he witnessed Jesus being whipped, when he witnessed what they were doing to Jesus and Jesus wasn't doing anything about it. And remember they said, hey, you're one of them. He said, no, I'm not. Remember when he denied Christ? That's what I'm talking about. That was Peter. What he was witnessing with his eyes wasn't agreeing with what he thought he had believed. But it wasn't that he didn't believe that. He did believe it, but he was dealing with the doubt in the flesh, and that's where we have our problems. We look sometimes at what we're witnessing, we look at what we believe, and sometimes we end up with dealing with doubt in our flesh, and that's what Peter dealt with. But this is the point I want to make. It didn't matter how much doubt Peter dealt with in his flesh, it didn't hinder the word from coming to pass. It doesn't matter how much doubt you got to fight through in your flesh. Believe me, it won't hinder the word to come into pass. He has given a promise, ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. And no matter how much you've had to deal with in your flesh, that promise will still come to pass. Why? Because you believed. We're born again. Baptized in his name. You've done everything that was asked. Now all you're waiting on is for him to say, okay, everything that was supposed to be in here is in there. Now it's time to seal it. Well, I tell you what, I hope this is making these things simple where it should be encouraging. Give us encouragement and for what I tell you what, friends, I've had the devil beat me up so often over the years on things like that when these little simple things out, it comes out this way, boy, it just makes me happy. It makes me want to just rub it in the devil's face. You know, the devil will take scriptures and try to club you over the head with them. But you'll recognize that it's him because God don't never club you over the head with the Bible. He don't never take the word and start beating on you with it. He doesn't. I'll tell you what, I'm having a good time. I don't know about y'all. This is just wonderful to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Brother Nate, if you're prepared to come on up, brother. Well, I'm starting to feel like I'm getting back. And when I preach and I got notes left over that I didn't get to, well, I'm starting to feel like I'm getting back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad you found me when you set me free.
Well, I've got so much to thank you.